glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket. Money comes, doesn't stay. Now they say I've got to pay. And the man's got his hands in my pocket. I got the red, white, and blues. Cause I got to pay my dues.
Welcome to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and I know many of you listening tonight probably feel like the man has his hand in your pocket. So if that's the way you feel, you're in the right place right here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's my pleasure to have you listening tonight or tuning in by way of the archives later in the week. My friends, it's Sunday, August 19th, and I'm truly excited about the topic tonight. We began discussing it last Sunday by accident, and then by design yesterday during our program at 1 p.m. As you may know, we're on Saturdays as well at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This topic is the missing link. It's the common denominator that I find in most people's processes. Actually, that I find missing from most people's processes, their unwillingness or lack of skill to this point in operating as the plaintiff to force public officials to use that status to force public officials to testify under oath as to the disposition of the funds in their case, or alternatively to just disintegrate and get out of their face. We're going to focus on this topic, my friends, intensely over the next few weeks in preparation for the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat in October, at which time we will be focusing on this topic quite heavily as a tailspin, more or less, from the commercial lien topic, which we have expanded at the retreat as well. So the last 3 days of that conference are going to be I think of great value to many people who are hearing my voice right now. We cannot be victorious as long as we're scared to take the battle to the other side of the fence. I know you understand that principle intellectually and maybe even viscerally. However, that doesn't necessarily help us overcome the fear we have of engaging public officials in their own arena. But when we come in as a plaintiff using our settlements, we can convert that arena into our side of the playing field. If we fail to do that, if we sit back and every 90 days we allow our teeth to get kicked in because their administrative remedy is rekindled and reborn by our lack of response, and we all ought to understand the principle of a lack of response emboldening people to move forward, then we're operating no differently than the rules of engagement in Vietnam. You remember those rules of engagement, those of you who are old enough, right? Every night on the news, our troops can't pursue the other side's troops. We can't cross the border, at least publicly, and fight on the other side of the border. We dig foxholes and we wait for NVA regulars to literally muscle their artillery down on narrow jungle pathways until they have us surrounded. We basically sit back and wait and absorb all of the punishment instead of doling it out. Now, as you know, I don't believe in controversy. I'm not a go-to-the-mattresses kind of guy. However, when we have a settlement and we don't execute on it, we don't take it in to their side of the playing field, then you may as well not have started the process to begin with. That said, we're going to have a very interesting guest after the break, and I'm going to read you a really fascinating email where God's hand was at work. Join me after the break, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
You'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks for joining us. Well, folks, we're going to review tonight and over the course of the next few weeks at least half a dozen, if not more, methods of proceeding into the courts under our rules and seeking all kinds of remedies and relief, declaratory judgments on our administrative judgments, rubber stamps on the other party's confession of judgment, and that's going to be a hot topic, suing for the interpleaded funds, quieting title, protecting our contracts from trespass, impairment, and stultification, enforcing our commercial liens, and I'm sure there will be many other topics that will come to mind, all targeting from the plaintiff's perspective and using all of the tricks in our substantial hellfire enforcement strategies medical bag. The call-in number tonight is 800-313-9443. For those of you who would prefer to talk with me live about your problems rather than trying to extrapolate your solutions listening to other people's problems. And, of course, you can always download the program in the archives. Friends, here is an email that I think you're going to enjoy. And it's entitled, The Lord Works in Mysterious Ways. Hello, Dr. Sam. My house is set to sell on August, particular date, but I have been doing some other research on mortgages and have discovered that everything is under contract by types of grantor trusts of different types. So I went in and revoked the trust that had been created with my mortgage and quick claimed my house over from the fiction to the soul. Then I wrote a new trust naming them as the trustee of the grantor trust and me as the beneficiary, so that they would be liable for the gift taxes on the gift of my home at closing. In other words, the trustee would be liable for the gift taxes. I did everything I thought would stop them, and so far nothing has worked. Now that's the operational phrase that I hear all day long. So far nothing has worked. Well, we have to make it work. It has worked. We just haven't been able to find a method to adjust the accounts instantly instead of waiting for Treasury. That's what I hear when I hear that message. And that's why we're going to be concentrating on those methodologies heavily right on up to and through the October Law Merchant Leadership Retreat. Then, she continues to say, then before yesterday, I started making plans to go to Georgia to meet with some of the people that had been able to come to your school to study with them. She's referring to the last Law Merchant Leadership Conference, which was completed a week or two ago. Being in a totally prayerful state of mind over all of my problems and praying to God for help, that's something we forget about sometimes, friends, praying to God for help and guidance, I went to my bookshelf where I had put the book that I had started building on all of your material to take with me to Georgia. Out of the book came falling on my head a bundle of paperwork that had been sent to me by the mortgage company about a year ago when I had started disputing the validity of the mortgage for non-disclosure. Out of the sky, these papers fell, my friends. I really did not remember very much about the paperwork, but for some reason I decided that I would sit down and go over it because the mortgage is the primary problem. And listen carefully to that phrase. The mortgage is the primary problem. It is. If you don't redraft the security interest, you cannot win in courts that exist for the sole purpose of enforcing security interests and have a tradition of doing that dating back to the mid-1600s. How many years is that? 400 years? You're not going to overturn 400 years of precedence, and that's why these rogue judges who are trying to overturn it and not realizing it are fated to go down under public policy. And that's why we're trying to issue them warnings and give them every opportunity to be saved from that fate, just like the judge we spoke about yesterday. Those of you who missed yesterday's program may want to download it from the archive and hear our discussion about one judge in particular who's the hook is around his neck and he's being pulled out. That judgeship is literally being eliminated after Treasury liquidation, and it was in the newspaper. We read that article yesterday. So she says, because the mortgage is the primary problem that I am dealing with. I want you to know that God does work in magical ways. There in this bundle of paperwork that the mortgage company had sent to me when she started protesting are the trust papers that created the mortgage. The original trust papers, friends. Now, if that isn't a gift from the Lord, what is? I know it had to have been by accident that they included them, and I do not remember ever seeing them, and I know that I would not have signed them. It says that I created a gifting trust, and I gave them my property, being that she's so kind-hearted, and the mortgage was created by this gifting trust, and that I am the settlor of the trust and beneficiary and the trustee as well. She's the trustee of the trust. Of course, that means she's the liable party, and that I can revoke the trust at any time. Now, my friend, if you read these trusts, you'll almost always find that the settlor can revoke the trust. They are not irrevocable trusts. And the question is, how do you apply that knowledge? We'll get into that as the program unfolds. I have revoked the trust, but they are not paying attention to my paperwork, but now I have their paperwork with the name of the trust and all of the numbers on it. I was thinking, if I served it on them by notary with the necessary bond paperwork, it would have a greater effect. And by that, she's referring, I presume, to the BIC instruments. It is my understanding that if I revoke the trust and then instate a new one, making them the trustee and me the beneficiary, that they are liable for the mortgage gift tax payments on my mortgage. I've been studying your material, and I really want to use the bonds on the county, blah, blah, blah. All right, so let's cut to the chase here. She's talking about doing a redraft, basically, creating a new trust. That said, let me bring the author of this email in and have her join us for your pleasure this evening. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Sam.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
So, Sarah, you wrote this email to me.
Yes, I did.
What was your feeling when you discovered that, I'm going to presume, the original trust papers signed by the bank's officials were in the paperwork that they sent you?
Oh, I felt like I had not only gotten a gift from the Lord, but had hit the bonanza.
Right. So, did it ever occur to you, in your glee, that now that you're holding the trust, they're out of the picture? They have no more claim.
Well, legally speaking, that's my understanding.
That's correct. What other documents did you sign at the original, quote-unquote, closing? You signed a promissory note?
Yes, I signed it just says note and the mortgage papers. And this trust paper document, I didn't see it, and the handwriting on it is not my handwriting.
Now, help our audience understand the principle of how the mortgage and the trust are related.
Well, the trust actually created the mortgage and borrowed the supposed money for the mortgage.
Do you have a copy of the trust in front of you? Actually, do you have the original of the trust in front of you?
No. See, that was the other crazy part of it, was it was not in my closing papers. They accidentally sent this to me.
I understand. In those papers that they gave you, do you have it now?
Yes.
And do you happen to have ready access, if not, we can do this after the next break, to the language by which the trust gives birth to the mortgage? Do you think you can find that?
Let's see.
Well, we can do that after the break, because that's going to be an interesting topic.
Okay.
So what we have here is a trust which empowers certain parties to certain responsibilities, obligations, and benefits, as do all trusts. And we have a security interest, which is the mortgage, and we have a promissory note. Have you been to the county to see what was filed?
Yes, I never had been before, but after I found this, I went up there. I pulled all of the public records, and I had it certified.
Good. And what did you find? I'm going to presume you did not find a promissory note, of course.
Yes, I found the promissory note and the mortgage papers, and I also found this trust. They had filed it.
Let me back up on that. The promissory note was filed in the county?
Yes.
Well, am I the only one listening to this that's getting a chuckle out of that? Exactly what law firm executed on this closing, because we want to recommend them to all patriots around the nation? This is our kind of closing.
Well, actually, it's not really a law firm. It's like a closing firm.
And they did their job, because they closed this mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
This is a done deal. I think most people listening out there to our program are experienced patriots, and I think we have a lot of them chomping at the bit, and a number of them who'd like to say, now how do we put these pieces together? Why don't we do that after the break?
Okay.
Folks, you're listening to Sarah, and Sam Kennedy discussing a very interesting mortgage at Take No Prisoners.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next 2 paychecks.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. And, folks, I think we're just getting to the good parts. And those of you who have your head in the gutter, please take it back out. Before we continue with our little discussion, let me just mention a couple of brief announcements. Number one, if you need a notary, please send an email to notarydepot, D-E-P-O-T, at hush.com. They've been very successful at hooking up experienced notaries and BIC notaries with folks around the country who need those services. You do not want to use an inexperienced notary, or as I like to think of them, an inexperienced Achilles heel, as an agent for the Secretary of State in these kinds of processes. Secondly, we are holding the 5-day Law Merchant Leadership Retreat in Albany, New York on October, I believe it's 11th through the 15th. That should be a Thursday through the following Monday. And if it's half as much of an extravaganza as the last one, it's something that if you are facing a controversy, you want to give serious consideration to attending. Or as one very kind fellow wrote me last week, he said, I thought before I attended, I could not afford with the airfare and the donation and the room to go. And now that I'm back, it's clear to me I could not afford not to have gone, and I'm telling that to all the people in our group. If you really need to get a handle on something and you have a lot on the line, we can't guarantee you any result. But the only opportunity that you have is knowledge. Knowledge and your faith in the Lord are what carry people through to successful outcomes. So I invite you to send a request for a registration form to Roberta T. as in Thomas at hush.com. Thirdly, we, as you may have heard, we're offering a free seminar called Collecting in Bankruptcy. That's a two-day seminar. I believe it's a Saturday to a Sunday. I keep screwing this up, folks. It could be a Friday to a Saturday or a Saturday to a Sunday. I'm pretty sure it's a Saturday to a Sunday, September 15th and 16th. Can you tell I'm not working off of notes? Actually, can you tell I'm working with half a brain? So what we'd like you to do, if you'd like to attend, if you think that can be of value to you, if you are caught in a difficult situation, or as one fellow sent me an email, I've got 10 foreclosures ongoing at the moment, and he's in bankruptcy court, then by all means, if you feel you need to slow things down or you would like to look at some other avenues for having the public monetize your judgments, then please send an email to samsfreeseminar@hush.com. We have a couple of people manning that, and they'll tell you what's involved in attending. Anyway, back to Sarah. So, Sarah,
yes.
You are now in possession of the original wet signature copy of some sort of inter vivos revocable trust.
Well, it's not the wedding, but it's the one that's filed in the courthouse.
It's not the so it's a certified copy.
Yes, now I have it certified.
Oh, well, I misunderstood. I thought they sent you back the original.
Oh, I wish they had. Matter of fact, the mortgage company's denying.
Well, Sarah, based upon what you said to me, I was under the assumption that you were sitting on the original by virtue of a very convenient error on the other side. So all you folks who are sitting on the edge of your seats, you'll have to back up a little bit. I led you down the primrose pathway. So you have a certified copy. What happened here, Sarah, was you protested the mortgage in some fashion,
mm-hmm.
and you asked for proof. And so they sent you out probably a copy of the mortgage and a copy of the trust, both certified copies. Is that correct?
Right.
All right. And the reason you were excited is because you didn't have a memory of having signed the trust.
No, it's not my signature.
So someone else created a trust, but does it state your name?
Yes.
All right. Then let me caution you. First, I'm going to ask you something, but feel free not to answer me if you'd rather not. Would you have any objection to sharing with our audience your age?
I'm 61.
My friends, here is a 61-year-old woman who's trying to hold on to her house. And the Federal Reserve Bank, those lovely folks owned by the Rockefeller and Morgan families and the Warburgs and Kuhn Loeb Bank and the Rothschild family and their banks, are coming after this 61-year-old woman to take her property. Now, mind you, that's the same organization that in 1907 caused the bank scare that led to all of those bank closures that led to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. And that's the same organization that inundated the market with funds and loosened up the credit and led to the bank panic of 1920, which I believe caused 5,000 private banks or local banks to fold. That's the same organization in 1929 that caused 16,000 banks to fold. We'll continue this discussion when we come back in 3 minutes. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back, friends. This is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. My friends, this is some unique programming we have around here, isn't it? Well, I'm going to do an about-face on what I was about to suggest to Sarah. Sarah, you had me all excited.
I'm sorry.
Well, please don't tell my wife.
Okay.
Because I was under the assumption that we were sitting on an original signature trust that had been returned, and I was going to say, let's send them a simple letter. Thank you for returning the particular trust. Thank you for registering the promissory note, and here's a copy accepted for value. And by the way, here's a redraft on the mortgage, and this would have been a done deal. But instead, I want to shift gears here and take the exact opposite tack. Let me ask you a couple of questions, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
What is your intention at this point? Are you thinking about sending them an affidavit or a commercial claim or something that points out to them that there's a false signature on the trust?
Yes, I've already sent to them a revocation of the trust, and I've sent like a commercial lien affidavit saying that these are the things that I've found that
are not right, and that they should respond to me in 72 hours or else.
And what? And they didn't respond?
No.
And so what have you done and what are you planning to do?
Well, I'm planning on tomorrow going and filing into the public record on my deed and mortgage, UCC 1 and 3, and I'm trying to get a UCC 11 to put in there.
Okay.
I'm trying to have that all together tomorrow, which I have registered the mortgage on, or the note on.
All right, so you've made some kind of UCC filing that purports to have a security interest in the mortgage?
Yes.
All right. What do you think is going to happen from their side?
So far, they've ignored everything.
So what do you think is going to happen from this point on?
Optimistically, I would like to think they're going to go, oh, we're so sorry, but I don't know.
Yes, I think it's unlikely, because I think you're falling into a trap here. I think that they sent you a certified copy of the trust, and they made their disclosure, and they're following along with their administrative process at this point. And the fact that it's not your signature on there is a perfect invitation for the one thing that is sure to kill your chances of holding onto the house, and that is it's an invitation to argue. And unless you are a magnificent liquidator in equity, they probably will be able to out-argue you, because they'll be sitting in a courtroom that is dedicated to protecting the number one cash cow in the United States, which is mortgages. I mean, I just mentioned the Federal Reserve Bank. If you think back to the history of that bank and think what they have done since 1913 and how quickly they did it, how they went ahead and had that fake banking scare of 1907. I forget the fellow's name, but the way they were able to publish a couple of articles about a New York bank being in trouble. Suddenly there's a run on the banks. Now there's a reason for the Fed, and on and on, and saturating the market with dollars and loosening up the money supply so that banks will be encouraged to borrow money and to lend money, and then tightening the money supply so that those loans will go in default and they can buy up the banks. I mean, imagine that. 16,000 banks failed in or shortly after 1929. And who do you think scooped up those banks? The Fed. It's amazing that Americans have been so dumbed down that if you sit on a bank board of your local bank, and there are very few left, relatively speaking, but there are still thousands of them, if you sit on your local board and you deal with this stuff day in and day out, and you make policy, or you're the president of the bank, as a friend of mine is, and he makes policy completely in the dark, he's sure to follow all of those regulations because the federal auditors may come in and cause me trouble if I'm not a good slave. So let me borrow what I can from someone I know that can tighten the money supply and make my very loans the chicken bone that I'm going to choke on. It's just an amazing thing that people are that ignorant, that people do not understand the sin that debt represents. Debt is the cardinal sin. And everybody in our society has fallen into that trap. I was going to say in a way that exceeds any other time in history, but when you think about the 1920s and you think about margin loans, you're familiar with margin loans, Sarah?
No, I'm not really.
Well, when you bought stock, you only had to come up with a percentage of the purchase. I think it was 10%. I remember my dad buying stock on margin, but I think it was 30% back then. Oh, 30%, a big remedy. The idea is that if the stock went down, you had to cover it, and they would call the rest of the loan, and it had to be paid within 24 hours. They didn't call it a loan. They called it a margin call, But millions and millions of people bought stocks with only putting up 10% of the cash. And when the stocks went down, when the Fed tanked the market, let me back up on that. Could the Fed have conceived a more potent weapon to entice people to give control of the society to them than devising a system of mass loans that don't even involve banks that require 10% capitalization, and the loan has to be repaid in 24 hours or you lose the principal? Imagine that. Could you, on your best day, have conceived of something so diabolical?
That's pretty bad.
When you think about it, it's ingenious. It is so nefarious and so ingenious, it almost invites admiration among our revulsion. And the bottom line is that a 61-year-old woman is about to be forced out of her house. And as, who was it? Not Nelson Rockefeller, but one of the Rockefeller grandchildren had said in a quote, Nick Rockefeller, I think it's Nick Rockefeller, is there such a name?
Yeah,
said in a recent quote, and I've seen this verified, it's that who cares about the people? We only care about our families, and protecting our families, and basically protecting their income, which is pretty much the way the mafia operates. But the mafia was never in a league with the Federal Reserve Bank, was it? So, that said, they don't care about the people. They don't care about them at all, and so you're facing this situation, and there are thousands of people across the nation at this very moment facing this situation. So what do you do? The first thing I'd be tempted to do is avoid argumentation. I think it's important when we're dealing with a mortgage, which is a security interest, that we don't go looking for the loopholes and the problems in it, but in fact, we redraft it. And one of the most powerful tools for redrafting a mortgage in my arsenal is what I call an international commercial claim slash lien, or we call it a clean, an international commercial clean, because in 10 days it becomes a lien by virtue of the breach of contract that's involved in it. Now, you've actually started down that pathway, so my compliments to you that you haven't fallen too deeply into that hole leading to Wonderland, which is enticing you to argue. But I would caution you that the issue regarding an unauthorized signature on the trust should be viewed as an opportunity to perfect a commercial lien, not an opportunity to go into an equity court and say, oh, look, there was fraud here. I want these guys arrested. Is that a point that you follow, Sarah?
Yes, I do.
And it seems like you've headed down that pathway.
So
you perfect the lien, and hopefully the lien points out, if it's well done, it would be both a redraft of the contract and a commercial claim, and 10 days later, a commercial lien. And in that redraft, it points out the terms of the redraft. What are the terms of your redraft? Have you used that affidavit to redraft the original contract, the original mortgage?
No, because I didn't know how to do that. I've been trying to figure it out, but basically what I did was revoke the trust, and I was thinking that should, knowing the proper name to call it now and having the numbers off of their documents, I should be able to bring it to a halt. So,
but that's a different issue. So let's take these one at a time. Let's look at the trust first. Number one, it does not sound like a bad idea to me to revoke the trust. Since you are the trustee, that's a non-controversy. You have to read the trust, of course, And if you're looking to operate within the terms of that trust as opposed to redrafting it, then you would look for the termination clause, and hopefully that's not very hard to find. What are the terms by which you can revoke or terminate that trust?
You have to notify them.
Notify them of what?
Any changes that you're going to make.
All right, so I would just call it a termination of trust. Now, that doesn't mean you can't. You have to redo all of your process. You can build upon your process and add it to another commercial claim or to your redraft or your contract, however it's happening. If it was me, I would get that trust out of the way just like you're doing, Sarah, and I would terminate that trust. And depending on the terms of the trust, if I felt it was necessary, I would substitute a new trust. Now, what's your reason for creating a new trust? You said something very eloquent in your letter.
To put the liability on them.
And how would it do that?
Because they have themselves basically reaping the rewards and me liable for everything at this point because I'm the trustee.
And how is that structured? You were the, supposedly, you were the purported grantor or settler of the trust.
Right.
And who was the beneficiary?
Well, it says that I'm the beneficiary, but that's kind of questionable.
In what way?
Well, because I'm still liable. So that's what I did in the original revocation before I knew the name of the thing. I revoked it, and I named myself as beneficiary and them as trustees, but it had no effect on them.
Well, is the trustee, who's the trustee on this trust?
Me.
And is the trustee in trustee's capacity a signatory to the mortgage?
The fiction is.
I'm sorry?
It says the terms of borrow when used in the security instrument shall refer to the revocable trust.
Okay. So the trust is a party to the mortgage, isn't it?
Well, it actually created it.
And what language did it use to create it?
It just says that the trust is the borrower and that it created. Under all this stuff they've got here, that it actually created this revocable trust rider to get the mortgage, and that all the powers to do everything is basically held by the trustee.
All right, and repeat for our audience one more time, who's the trustee?
I'm the trustee, or the fiction is.
And when you hear all the power belongs to the trustee, what are you really hearing? All the liability belongs to the trustee.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Right.
So in the present system of no money, power, at least as it's defined within context of a commercial transaction, power is liability. Responsibility is liability. Owning a title to something identifies the liable party. Everything is backwards. So one way you can go here, of course, is as you're doing, is to revoke the trust, and then, or perhaps you could simply change trustees and shift the liability without revoking the trust. Have you considered that?
Well, that's what I did the first time. Before I found this document, and they totally ignored it.
But they are the trustee.
Yeah, I made them the trustee then.
All right, and so it sounds to me like you need some enforcement strategies.
Yes, that's
to wake them up, correct? Because theoretically, that's all it would take is a new trustee on the trust. That trustee is now the party that can be sued, and it's the party that's holding the liability on the mortgage. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
Or as you pointed out, let me see if I could find it in your letter. You said, it is my understanding that if I revoke the trust and then instate a new one, making them the trustee and me the beneficiary, that they are liable for the mortgage slash gift tax payments on my mortgage.
Right.
That's correct. But they can also fail to make those payments and then foreclose on the property. Because I'm sure the bank is named as the lender on the security interest. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
So what good would that do?
Well, when you put it that way, not much.
Not much. So we need some other form of redraft. So now we've played around with two ideas. One is to change the trustee and make them the liable party. But that will go nowhere unless you have a way of enforcing that. The second is to revoke the trust and try and operate under some sort of assumption that that invalidates the mortgage. But the mortgage is a standalone document in which you've already confessed judgment. And that leads us to the really important topic of this discussion, the mortgage. And we will pick that up after the break. My friends, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my-
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Friends, we only have a few minutes till the top of the hour when we'll have a brief station identification, but let's see what we can squeeze in this brief segment. We're talking to Sarah, a 61-year-old gal who's on the verge of losing her house. Now, Sarah, we've spoken about this trust, which doesn't have your signature on it, but somehow has been brought into play, which was also filed in the county by the mortgage company. There's also a promissory note that, to everyone's surprise, was filed into the county, and there's a mortgage that was filed into the county. Who's the successor trustee on the trust?
There's not one.
What provision is there for the trustee appointing a successor trustee? What if something happens to the trustee? Who takes over?
It really doesn't say, I don't think.
I would venture to say there's some clause in there that would provide for that. But the reason I'm asking you all these questions, and in a way going around in circles here, is to play this thing out and put us through the same kind of planning strategy that people tend to go through when they're facing these things. And in foreclosures, it can be very confusing, very hard to come up with a strategy because we get off point. Every one of these issues we've spoken about, in my opinion, is a diversion from the real issue at hand. And the real issue at hand is no more nor less than the following, that you signed a mortgage in some capacity, maybe as trustee for this trust or as authorized representative for the straw party. But the trust is a straw party also. It doesn't really matter. But you signed a mortgage, and that mortgage consists of at least two tiers. One is a pretty simple contract with a loan and terms of repayment and interest rates and the like. And one is a more complex document, which is confession of judgment. Now, I know the listeners have heard me say that a million times, but it's worth repeating. Confession of judgment, which turns that document into a statute staple, a law unto itself, and the law of the contract will win. And that's the document that the foreclosure will occur on. Is this a judicial or an administrative foreclosure?
It's a non-judicial.
It's a non-judicial foreclosure.
Yep.
Isn't your process as good as theirs?
Well, yeah, but evidently my club's not as big as theirs.
Well, that's because they'll go ahead and do certain things and bring it to the sheriff. But if you mimic their procedure, you could foreclose on them.
Oh, I like that idea.
Well, you could do it using the same procedures they use. You could do it, and that is true whether it's judicial or non-judicial. So here's what I might consider doing. Number one, I'd like to go back to BIC. After all, that's what this program is about. I'd like to suggest that the best way to terminate a trust, a mortgage, a security interest, a contract, a lien, what have you, is to pay it. And in this case, we have a caveat in that they've already registered the promissory note. It is paid. The problem is, if you try and argue that tack, then the onus will be on you. Because some judge will turn around and say, well, Ms. Sarah, you mean to say because they filed it in the county and some clerk stamped it that somehow you've paid off this note? You see how deadly that is?
Mm-hmm.
They'll drag you right into equity and you won't even know.